Greetings, one and all. It's Pastor Bob from Vine Street Christian Church. It's Easter night here in the village of Arthur, and I'm coming to you tonight as a preface for our seven-day retreat that begins tomorrow, 7 days with Thomas Merton. I'd like to provide you a little introduction, a little bit of background, a little context, and some tips for how you might be willing and able to approach this audio retreat, such as it is, to see if you're willing to take some intentional time this week and spend it alone with these recordings and see how God might be speaking to you coming off your Lenten journey with Jesus and now your resurrection with Him as well. I'm going to be using a devotional called A 7-Day Journey with Thomas Merton by Esther DeWall. And these will be her words primarily that will make up this retreat. And of course, I'll add my own comments and thoughts as well. But for tonight, I just want to read a little bit about how to approach this retreat, since it is kind of an unusual, unique practice to do a retreat by audio recording. Each one of us kind of individually retreating on our own and knowing that we are connected by the Spirit. Here's how Esther DeWall sets the tone for the week to come. She says, for many of us, the chance to take time off to spend a week or even a weekend away is an almost impossible luxury. We can afford neither the time nor the money. Yet, if I am to take myself seriously, to respect the whole of myself, body, mind, and spirit, and acknowledge how vital it is to nurture myself, I know that time apart is essential. It is essential to find time to stand back, to draw breath, not only for my sake, but also for my relationships with my family, colleagues, friends, and above all, for an ever-deepening relationship with God. If the purpose of having this time is merely to run away, to escape, then it will do me no good. Thomas Merton knows this, and he warns us about it. He says, we have to remember that we look for solitude in order to grow there in love for God and in love for others. We do not go into the desert to escape people, but to learn how to find them. We do not leave them in order to have nothing more to do with them, but to find out the way to do them the most good. But this is always only a secondary end. The one end that includes all others is the love of God. When Merton writes about the need for solitude in his own life, he is also speaking on behalf of all of us as we become aware of that need in ourselves. Now, if this retreat is going to be a real priority, then somehow or other, you will have to try to make time. Whether by setting aside perhaps an hour or so every morning or evening for a week, or alternatively, one whole morning a week for the whole week. Whatever that is will obviously be dictated by your circumstances, as well as by the space which you can make available. Perhaps one corner of a room can become a small place of retreating and prayer, marked out perhaps with pictures or an icon. A lighted candle is always good. Perhaps there will be some objects such as stones or bits of wood, which you can add as time goes on. Even now that summer seems to be coming, there may well be a place out of doors which lends itself as a suitable secluded spot. Maybe there is a side chapel at a nearby church where it is possible for you to spend time undisturbed. Wherever it is to be, the one essential is that it is a place which is possible to be quiet and on your own. Learn to be alone. That's the title of one of the chapters of New Seeds of Contemplation by Thomas Merton. Learn to be alone. And in it, Merton has some practical and profoundly wise advice. Find the place, he tells us. Find the place. And once you have found it, be content with it. Love it. And return to it as soon as you can. And do not be too quick to change it for another. And then make a real effort to put aside all noise, both the noise outside of you and your inner noise. Thomas Merton puts it this way. You should be able to untether yourself from the world and set yourself free, loosing all the fine strings and tensions that bind you by sight, by sound, by thought, to the presence of others. Let there be a place somewhere in which you can breathe naturally, quietly, and not to have to take your breath in continuous short gasps. A place where your mind can be idle and forget its concerns. A place where you can descend into silence and worship the Father in secret. At the same time, you should be careful about getting caught up in too many techniques and methods. Look, there are endless books, tapes, pamphlets, courses available today on the whole subject of retreats and prayer. In his usual straightforward way, Merton tells us that if we want to pray, really want to pray, then the best thing simply is to get on with it. He says, nothing that anyone says will be that important. The great thing is prayer. Prayer itself. If you want a life of prayer, the way to get it is by praying. Your prayer may be helped if you keep a simple journal or notebook. And at the end of the allotted time, record whatever has been most valuable and meaningful. Ideas and insights which are so vivid when you come to the end of a period of silent prayer can very easily get lost and overlaid later on. The journal should simply be honest notes, which will be seen only by you. It will do no good to pretend to be anyone else or to have deeply moving spiritual thoughts which might more easily belong to a plaster saint. Simply make brief, thoughtful jottings as a memorandum to yourself. Some may prefer to express what's happening visually. Even those of you who don't think that you can draw can pick up paints or crayons and take a large piece of paper and show in color and line what you're feeling. This can be particularly rewarding if it is done each day, so that when your 7-day journey is at its end, the pattern of what has been happening is there in front of you. Also, perhaps, slow, careful, meditative walking, feeling yourself particularly aware of sight and sound and touch, might play a natural part during your retreat. This can be wherever you are. There's no need to feel that you have to go and find some romantic scene. Pavements and brick walls and city skylines can do perfectly well. Some people may already find this to be an easy and attractive way of praying. Others might like to try and discover it if they have not tried it before. Now, before we go any further into this retreat, let us ask for some grace from God. Grace to find the time. Grace to find the silence. Grace for the gentleness and sensitivity to be open to receive that which will be given in word and in sight. Our prayer is that we may approach this time with open heart, with open mind, with open eyes, and that through it, we may become more deeply aware of God's presence in our life. Let's close this introduction now with some words from Thomas Merton. This is called Words and Pictures, and it will set the stage for the words you will hear throughout the week from the monk known as Father Lewis, Thomas Merton. Merton says, "It might be a good thing to open our eyes and see. It is essential to experience all the times and moods of one good place. It is God's love that warms me in the sun, and God's love that sends the cold rain. It is God's love that feeds me in the bread I eat, and God's love that feeds me also by hunger and fasting. It is God who breathes on me with light winds off the river and in the breezes out of the woods. As we go about the world, everything we meet and everything we see and hear and touch plants in us something of heaven. It is good and praiseworthy to look at some real created thing and feel and appreciate its reality. Just let the reality of what is real sink into you. For through real things, we can reach Him who is infinitely real." A tree gives glory to God by being a tree. For in being what God means it to be, it is obeying Him. The more a tree is like itself, it is like Him. A particular tree will give glory to God by spreading out its roots in the earth and raising its branches into the air in a way that no other tree before or after it ever did or will do. There is in all things an inexhaustible sweetness and purity, a silence that is a fount of action and joy. It rises up in wordless gentleness and flows out to us from the unseen roots of all created being, welcoming us tenderly, saluting us with indescribable humility. If I am supposed to hoe a garden or make a table, then I will be obeying God if I am true to the task that I am performing. To do the work carefully and well, with love and respect for the nature of my task, and with due attention to its purpose, is to unite myself to God's will in my work. In this way, I become His instrument. He works through me. In our closing quote from Thomas Merton, "The sun on the grass was beautiful. Even the ground seemed alive." That completes this introduction of our 7-day retreat with Thomas Merton. Tomorrow you'll be receiving 2 different recordings, as you will each of the next 7 days, and you can use them as you like. Listen when you can. But please try to find some time and a place this week for it to be just between you and God on this 7-day journey. Tomorrow, day 1. The call. Until then, have a blessed evening.